8 o'clock, and you are listening to Fox Sports Radio 98.9 FM at 1340 AM, flagship of the Vegas Golden Knights. I'm Brian Feldman, and this is Out of Line. We're here every Sunday morning live in the Fox Sports Residential Bank Corp studio in Las Vegas. The we I'm referring to today includes fill-in co-host Jose Sudden Death Vellante, sitting in for former UNLV quarterback Caleb Herring, who is getting a rare vacation with the UNLV football team on a break this week. So Caleb and his family are out of town, and we're still out of line. Caleb will be back next week. Also here, producer Chris Magnum Chapman. Mags is also the locker room reporter for the Vegas Golden Knights radio game broadcast, and the newest member of the team, straight from ROTC training last week, and I thought that was a high school thing.
That's what we all thought, I guess.
I mean, unless the Wiz is a high school, still somehow in high school, but the newest member, he is our new intern, the Wiz, so we welcome Spence to the show as well, and the show's also streaming on the LV Sports Network and seen on Facebook Live. The page is called Out of Line, that's OUTTALINE, and you can watch on our personal pages as well. The show is live, as I mentioned, and the phone lines are open. The Fox Sports Residential Bank Corp studio line is 702-876-1340.
Hi, this is Bubby, and it's time for What's on Tap.
Blair catches, gives it to Antonio. Quick three is blocked. And Kansas State with the ball. Rebels will foul with 5 seconds to go. Rebels ran a play trying to get Jonah open for a three, and I think it was Murphy came flying over to block Jonah's three-point attempt.
And the final seconds come off the board. This one is over. The Capitals never trail in a 5-2 victory over the Vegas Golden Knights.
What's on Tap, thanks to our brand-new title sponsor, Residential Bank Corp, with offices locally in Las Vegas and Henderson. Whether purchasing a new home or refinancing the home you already own, Residential Bank Corp is the company to turn to for all your home financing needs. At Residential Bank Corp, we listen, you win. On Tap, as you heard, both UNLV and the Vegas Golden Knights lost yesterday. Mark Anderson, who covers the UNLV football and basketball beats for the Las Vegas Review-Journal, will be joining the show shortly to talk about the new-look Runnin' Rebels. We will also be joined in studio by professional drummer and owner of Six Guns Music. This will be coming up in a little bit. They've got a grand opening here in Vegas. You'll definitely want to check this out. In studio, Daniel and Alicia Margasar here, and we'll talk to them in a few minutes as well. Also joining a little later, Michael Babcock of TMZ Sports, plus Alabama LSU. We'll talk NFL Week 10, and stick around, our picks of the week. You won't want to miss these. Bet the other way, you'll probably win. That's What's on Tap, thanks to Residential Bank Corp. If you are looking to buy a home or refinance the home you're in, choose a company you can trust at Residential Bank Corp. We listen, you win. I'll get that down eventually. Okay, and
facts this. If you don't like the facts, take your ass back to bed. Fact this.
Just came off of a tough, tough game against Kansas State, overtime game. But what do you take away from this game? I know right now it's got to be sour, but what do you take away?
You know, we show heart. We show that we can play with the best of the best. You know, we show that we can, you know, we can get teams down the stretch. We can fight. We took this team into overtime. You know, this is first year team for us. We got new guys, new coaches. You know, it shows how quick we came together right here.
Talk about this team. It is a brand new team now. You guys, a couple of games together, a long way to go, but some real tough road to haul right in front of you. You know, some real big games coming up.
You know, going into these next couple games, just want to stay focused. You know, take every game by itself and continuously focus on the scouts. We want to stay true to ourselves. You know, hang our hat on defense, where we work on every day. And continuously, each and every day we go on practice. You know, we want to compete each and every day and make each other better.
What did Coach say in the locker room after the game?
You know, we just got to continuously, you know, fight. You know, that game we took a great team into overtime. We don't want to point fingers. We want to get to that next game, which is versus Cal. You know, we don't want to let this game identify us. We want to get in and practice the next day. We continuously go at each other, hard work each and every single day, and then we get out there, you know, work on what we've done.
Last question. So you watch film now, but before you look at the film, your assessment, I mean, you were out there the majority of this game today. What do you think this team needs to work on the most going forward, getting ready for a tough game coming up?
I would say just focusing on the detail. No, we said we wanted to take away the drives. We got a couple guys on our teams get to the paint. I would say definitely playing off 2 feet, making the right passes myself. I feel like I had a lot of turnovers, but you know that comes again from guys just watching me trying to create. You know, you got to be moving without the ball, got to be cutting. And I think if we continue to do that better, have guys being more aggressive, not just myself, but we can continuously pull out wins.
Cal and UCLA, good luck, man.
Thank you, appreciate it.
Cal and UCLA, that is Amari Hardy, starting point guard for the UNLV Runnin' Rebels. It is a fact. Yesterday at the Thomas and Mack, the Runnin' Rebels took Kansas State, last season's co-Big 12 regular season champs, to overtime before losing 60-56. This is not actually as good of a loss as it might sound. Joining us on the Fox Sports Residential Bank Corp studio line to break it down is Mark Anderson, who covers the UNLV football and basketball beats for the Las Vegas Review-Journal. Mark, when I say UNLV lost by 6 points to a 4 points to a Big 12 team, you think, wow, that's pretty damn good, their second game. But it's the way they lost why I say it wasn't that great of a loss, right?
Yes and no. I mean, I think it's, I think Kansas State's defense is as good a defense as probably they'll face all season. And I think they obviously struggled with it large parts of the game, but, they didn't get blown out. And I think the fact that they fought the entire game, they actually did a really good job rebounding the ball. They did a really good job on their own defense for most of the game, held the lead for 31 minutes. I think there's a lot to build on it, but they also did have, they came out of the second half of the second straight game and kind of had a let down, which needs to be addressed. They also didn't get the play they wanted at the end of regulation, which was a drive to the basket. But a lot of that has to do with Kansas State, too. Kansas State didn't give up that drive, and it forced Amari Hardy to take a rush three. And so that was, I think UNLV is not a Mountain West contender at this point. I don't think they're there yet, but I didn't think they were there going into this season. But I think this is a team that is going to have some games where they surprise and do well, and they're going to have games where they struggle because a lot of it's reliance on that three, and they only have really one 3-point shooter at this point.
They do, and what I was kind of stunned about was how little Antonio played at the end of the game. I mean, Jono just, he's the guy that shoots from the perimeter, and even in crunch time, TJ didn't have him in the game until the very end. Were you surprised at that?
I was surprised he wasn't in for the final possession. I understood why he got set down for the last 4 or 5 minutes of regulation, because he just wasn't playing well, and his shot wasn't going down, and they felt like they were, with the way the game was going, they needed to attack more and going at the basket, and I understood Otto Berger's decision at the end after he explained it about how they thought they were better off trying to get a shot at the basket. I still like the idea of having a shooter out there as an option, because as it turned out, they needed to try to take an outside shot anyway. So, I understand why he was set down. I understand why Donnie Tillman was put on the bench. He struggled all game.
I got that as well with Tillman. He looked a little bit out of sorts. But, I understand Kansas State played really good defense, but still, I really felt UNLV, and it was asked about in the press conference, really did not make good use of the shot clock. And I understand it was the defensive prowess of Kansas State, which was partially responsible for that, but still, there were too many times they were at the very end of the shot clock and had to take errant shots. For a while there, I was looking for, I thought Javon Mourning came back because when Mourning taking shots from the rafters because the shot clock was out. He just did it before the shot clock ran out. That was the only difference. But, Mark, what do they do to shore that up? Because it's not just defense. You've got to rotate the ball around the perimeter and find an open shot if you can't get it inside.
Well, but if you saw the opener, that's exactly what they did, right? They did a great job moving the ball around. You had five guys scoring double digits. So I don't know that I'm – take a lot of alarm out of what happened. So I just think they played, like Goff's first day after the game, to the top five defense. I mean, they contested everything, and they made the decision that they were going to make Hunley fight for everything. They would make him take time coming up to court. By the time you get past mid court, suddenly you're down to 20-22 seconds on the shot clock, and then you're being met right as you cross head court, mid court, and it's just, they contested every pass. They contested, and the officials let them do a lot of this too. I mean, it was a physical game. The officials could have called a lot more fouls than they did, and I'm not blaming the officials for the game. I'm just saying they let them play, and so that helped Kansas State to really be more aggressive. And so I want to see what happens at Cal, and I want to see what happens at UCLA before I draw any real conclusions as far as the ability to move the ball around, because I thought in the opener and the exhibition they did a great job at that, and I know that's something he emphasizes.
Mark Jose here. You talked about the defense. Now, defensively, they only gave up 16 points in the first half. That's really good there. Do you see this being their identity, and can they actually sustain this moving forward for the rest of the season?
It's going to have to be, and that's what Otzelberger made that clear in preseason, that he wanted this to be, he wanted to really focus on defense. And I think a lot of it is because he doesn't have the offensive personnel he needs at this point. And, I said they have one shooter, really have two. I should have mentioned Hardy, too, because Hardy, although he's inconsistent, he, as he saw yesterday, made 5 threes, so he certainly has the ability to, he has the ability to get hot from outside, and so, but they need more shooters than that, and they're going to have those shooters. I mean, next year, David Jenkins will be there. The way he's recruiting, he's looking for shooters. So he's going to be able to have more versatility next year, but he doesn't have it then. They're going to have to grind some games out, and I just think that's who they are right now. I don't know they're necessarily going to be holding a post at 16 points at halftime every game. I think some of that had to do with Kansas State's offense is not that great.
That was terrible.
That's how they're going to have to win a lot of games, is through defense. And he said after the game, that's the defense and rebound and travel. And so that should benefit them on the road trip this upcoming week.
Yeah, last thing I want to talk about with that, and then one quick question about football, but the road trip. Kansas State, does this game taking Kansas State to overtime, having a lead throughout a good portion of this game, does that help them going to Cal and UCLA? Because even though the Pac-12 hasn't been the same the past couple of seasons, it's still the Pac-12. It's still a Power 5 conference. And what a schedule. I mean, Kansas State followed by Cal and then, and then UCLA before they get to come back home. That's a pretty tough road to haul. What do you think happens in those games?
Well, it's interesting. They're catching these teams at a pretty good time, sort of like with Kansas State, where they're catching the times where they're probably the most beatable because they're all in transition. I think they have a good chance to at least pull off a split this week. Cal just hasn't been that great in a long time. UCLA with Nick Cronin in his first year, they're having their own issues. You can certainly make the argument that those teams are catching UNLV at a good time too. So, but I think they have every shot to at least get a split out of this weekend. If they can do that, I think that will be something they can build on. And I do think there are a lot of positives from yesterday that they could take going forward. If they short some things here and there, they win that game yesterday. And so, that's something I think. If Hardy's three at the end of regulation goes down, this is a completely different conversation. So I think that's when you talk about those games can go either way. I think as a coach, you point out the negatives and say if you just improve on those, you win the game, and then you build on the positives as well. So I think that's probably what they'll do.
Yeah, I would agree. I think it's a positive thing when you come off of a loss like that. I just said that it wasn't as good of a loss as it sounded, because it felt like they should have won the game. It just had that.
Well, I agree with you on that.
Yeah, that was it. And next week, and real quickly transitioning over to football, three games left. Obviously, they haven't won a game in the Mountain West Conference yet. They come home against Hawaii. That might be the most winnable game on their schedule, although some people might argue San Jose State is. But you got two games at home. Afternoon games, and then the final game in Reno. What is your, I mean, what's your expectation of those three games? I know it's tough because UNLV every now and again can show up, but, you know, and I don't even want to get into the Tony Sanchez thing. I think that's a conversation for after the season. I'm going to leave the poor guy alone and let him finish up the season this year. But what do you expect in these final three games?
Yeah, it seems like every year they pull off a game or two that you just don't see coming. So, you know, that could very well could happen down the stretch here, where they win one or two of these games, and you're like, "Wow, that's a surprise." So I always keep that in mind. But when you break each one down, it just doesn't look good for them. You know, Hawaii just does not match up well for UNLV. I mean, Hawaii, UNLV doesn't match up well for Hawaii. Hawaii throws the ball over the field, and I just don't know that UNLV can keep up with that kind of offense. I don't think it'll stop Hawaii's passing game, and I just don't think UNLV's offense is playing well enough to keep up with it. San Jose State's the surprise of the conference, and right now I'd have to vote Brent Brennan Coach of the Year. And they're playing really well. They played well at Hawaii yesterday. They gave Boise all can handle. They're expected to be in the last of the league, and they're fighting for a bowl berth. So that you're probably right. That probably is the most winnable game remaining. But I think San Jose State's probably going to be favored when they come in here, and then at Reno. I was thinking that Reno might be the weakest of the teams, and then they go beat San Diego State on the road yesterday. So it's just really hard. I can see them losing these final three games, and because I think they're going to be underdogs in each one, and so I think they'll be up for all three games because this team has shown that comes out energized, and I don't think they've ever stopped playing for Tony Sanchez, and I don't think they will. So I think they're going to try to be competitive. I just don't know that their defense has made some plays, but it's been inconsistent. You know, and Oblad has had slow starts, and I just by the time he gets hot, it seems like the game's out of hand. So it's just it's really going to be hard. It could be a tough final three games.
Mark, I appreciate you reaching in the grab bag trying to find a positive way to spin all that, and you did about as good as you could do. I find myself stumbling as well. Last question I'm going to ask you today, and because I get asked this question a lot lately, Armani Rogers. Is Armani Rogers a Rebel next year?
I've done a lot of checking around on that. From what I understand, he's not close enough to graduating to be a grad transfer, which seems to be his best route out because he's already used a red shirt. Using a medical red shirt would be very difficult because you've got to really prove that you were not able to play or even practice and play. And so I don't know that that's going to be an option for him because I don't know he's going to be able to prove that. So I don't know how many options he really has. If he goes to transfer somewhere, if he sits out, the eligibility's gone. So you'd have to go transfer and try to get an NCAA waiver, and certainly they're giving a lot more of these out these days, but that's an awfully big bet to place on yourself, and I don't know. I just don't know. Now, I know some people say that if a player really wants to go that badly, the school will help him to do what he needs to get in position to go. So that, I guess that's only possible. They could help make up the credits to transfer and graduate. So I guess that's always possible. But at this point, it's going to be really difficult for him if he wants to move on.
Yeah, interesting. I guess maybe he needs to sit down with my co-host, Caleb Herring, here and talk about your senior year sitting on the bench, and maybe Oblad will turn into Nick Cherry and Armani Rogers will get one more shot. Who knows? But, you know, wish him all the best.
Right? We can only hope.
Well, I mean, you know, I mean, for him.
Keep hope alive.
Yeah, for the kid's sake, you know. But anyways, Mark Anderson, Las Vegas Review Journal, covers the beat for UNLV men's basketball and for football. We really appreciate you, Mark. Thanks so much.
Well, thanks for having me on. I appreciate you doing that.
Absolutely. Mark, getting up for us, man. You got to enjoy it. I try to leave him alone because the poor guy has to get up early all the time.
He's helping his family with stuff, and he's still
Yeah, he's on the phone family. Doing that, but it's great. Listen, we're going to take a real quick break. We're going to come back. We're going to quickly talk about the Vegas Golden Knights, as I mentioned, and we've got some special guests in studio. A music store opened up, but all kinds of cool stuff. If you are a musician, man, you definitely want to stick around, and even if you're not, check it out. You want to potentially purchase a guitar. We got a professional drummer drummer in studio that's opening up a music shop, specializing in guitars, all kinds of equipment, everything you need. We'll talk about that, too. That's going to be coming up after the bottom of the hour. And also, don't forget, Michael Babcock of TMZ Sports is going to be joining us on the other side as well. You are listening to Out of Line. I'm Brian Feldman. I'm here with our intern, The Wiz, co-host Jose Sudden Death Vellante, sitting in for Caleb Herring, and, of course, Magnum. All right, Mags, go ahead, hit the commercial, man.
Hockey players, as you know, are warriors. They don't give up. They come to play every game.
It's time for Nightcap, a cup full of the Vegas Golden Knights. From highlights to interviews to special events, the puck starts here.
Well, we thought when the Vegas Golden Knights wrapped up that homestand that might be a good thing, Mags. We were talking about that, you know, going on the road might help them out a bit. They had a bad outing, you know, as we remember, against the Avalanche. Then they came back. They beat the Ducks. The Canadiens come in, beat them in OT. That wasn't a fun game to watch. The Jets beat them at home. I mean, if you just go down the line, but the last four games have been tough for them, especially the last three on the road. They got the Red Wings today at home. That should be, they got the Red Wings in Detroit today at 2 o'clock, their final home game before they come back.
Home for you.
Home for me. Detroit, man. But, Chris, I think it's a big game in Detroit today. I think they need to get off this snide before they come home and not come home losing four or five road games. I just think they need to win this game today.
Well, yeah, I feel that way as well. I mean, but they played well against Columbus. They played well against Toronto. Probably should have won the Toronto game. They played good for 45 minutes yesterday. Unfortunately, the first 5 minutes of that game yesterday and then the last 10 minutes, they just weren't a good team.
They're like the team we've been seeing at times.
Well, the problem is they can't put 60 minutes together. Yep. And here's an even bigger problem. They can't score goals on the road.
It's unbelievable, too, with the offensive power they have. Well, it's crazy.
Well, where's Mark Stone been on this road trip?
Unbelievable. Non-existent.
I mean, this is a guy who's making $9.5 million a year.
Smith did almost have a hat trick.
Yeah, well, Smith...
he's been consistent all year.
You've had, on this road trip, you've had a few guys show up. And that's it. You've had Riley Smith, Max Pacioretty, William Karlsson, and the two goalies.
Yep.
Other than that, you have no third line. You don't expect your fourth line to go out there and score. But Gerard Gallant, he will tell you that he expects his top six skaters to score goals. Now, unfortunately,
as he should.
Yeah. Well, when only two of those guys are scoring goals on a road trip and you're now on your fourth game, it's a bit of a problem. And that's a big problem because Paul Stastny, no points on the road trip.
Yeah.
Max Pacioretty has the two goals. Riley Smith has, I think, four.
Yeah. Smith's having a great year, but you're
so
right.
What's the problem? Who do you blame at this point?
No, I mean,
that's what I'm saying. Like,
the second line, which a lot of people would say the first, you know, is the first line. They're going to continue to always announce and, you know, always be Marchessault, Karlsson, and Smith on the first line. But really, a lot of people say our real first line is the second line with Mark Stone, Pacioretty,
and Stastny. Where's that line been?
No, but that's what I'm about to say. It is amazing how bad this line has played at times. Like the one game we saw, what a terrible pass right to open that game. That pass by Mark Stone. Against the Avalanche. I mean, he threw it right across to Beltmeyer. It's like almost like he was giving him a gift to go ahead and score a goal. Terrible, dude.
The unfortunate thing is you've had Alex Tuch for four periods. So you have no idea what you have in your third line because you've had the guy for four periods
in
18, 19 games.
Yeah.
So maybe when he comes back, you get a little more out of your third line. But I think this team got themselves, it's certainly not an original thought, so I'm not taking credit for it, but they got themselves into a little bit of cap trouble. They were forced to move guys that they probably shouldn't have moved, like Eric Halla, who got re-injured, so I don't know what his status is, but you know, he was having a good year in Carolina.
And Belmar was really, you know, Chris, I complain about his ability.
That's
but
the one
intangible that everyone likes in the locker room, the guy that gets the team up and
because
fires
them up. I felt like Belmar was a guy who I don't know what he's making in Colorado. I think he's making about what he should make here. But you let Belmar go and you re-sign Peary. I still don't understand that move. I understand Peary's a winger, Belmar's a center. But as far as contributions to the team...
He's a one-way player, Chris.
As far as the contributions to the team, I'll take Pierre-Edward Belmar over
Brandon Peary.
Yeah. I mean, Peary has the ability to maybe score 10, 15 goals.
There is
goals,
a reason. You know, people used to complain that don't really. And again, I don't like to offend people that don't understand hockey. Being from Detroit, I grew up with it. I think I had a puck in my mouth by the time I was 2 years old. But the truth of the matter is, you know, you have to have players like Belmar. And there's a reason he wore the alternate and the A on his jersey for the first two seasons here with Golden Knights. People that didn't know the game, like, why is a fourth line center wearing a C or an A, excuse me? And I'm like, because he is a leader on the team. The guys that wear the letters are either leaders in the locker room or the leader on the ice. This guy is a leader in the locker room and a leader on the ice. He's always the last guy off the ice, although yeah. Fleury likes to do that as well, so he allows Fleury to be the last guy off when he was here. But Belmar was always the last guy, making sure everyone was just a true team player. And I really think he was a big part of the chemistry of this team that they just didn't take into account.
You don't really have a star defenseman, right? Like, you have some good defensemen, you have some average defensemen, but you don't have that top blue line or blue line guy, right? Like, you look around the league and the teams that are really good all seem to have a star in defense.
Yeah.
Right? Like, if you had a guy like Seth Jones, that completely changes everything. Now, granted, guys like Seth Jones aren't available all the time. Yeah, I mean, I know people don't like Brent Burns, but
oh my God, he's ridiculous.
What he gives you is he gives you a guy who can move the puck out of the zone. He
can be physical. He's a two-way player. Yep. He'll play defense, but he'll also put
score.
The puck in the
he
back
can
of
score
the net.
Goals. Yeah.
And that's huge.
And you know that this team, I just don't. I felt it when they made their offseason moves. I just didn't feel like they were better than the team that lost Game 7 to San Jose. And I guess in some ways I maybe felt that they were worse. I think they're probably about that team that lost to San Jose in Game 7. I don't think they're going to win the Stanley Cup without making a huge move.
At some point.
At some point.
Yeah.
I mean,
defensively.
I think that's where you need to go.
Yeah,
you need, and it may end up costing you someone really good offensively. But if you feel you have the depth to where you could trade away a guy like Eric Halla and Nikita Gusev, then maybe that's going to give you an opportunity to get, you know, you have to have the confidence in your top six. I mean, maybe Tuck moves into the top six if you move someone, but I think they need to make a move, man.
Is it a guy like Stastny?
I don't know.
I'm looking around to see if they move. Well, we're going to see. It's a big game today. It really is. Support them. They're on the road against the Red Wings at 2 o'clock face-off today. And then they come back home. They're home against the Chicago Blackhawks this coming Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Get out, support them. And, of course, they're back on the road then next weekend. They go to L.A. to play the Kings on Saturday. They've got to start winning some games here. They're still above 500. They're still right in the mix. And they still definitely have the players to make a run, but like Chris said, I agree 100%. They have got to shore up defensively, because the bottom line is you can't keep seeing Marc-Andre Fleury hung out to dry the way we have this year. This guy has saved their ass so many times. It's not funny.
Well,
these games could have been way more lopsided if it wasn't for his play.
The Winnipeg game and the Toronto game, Malcolm Subban played phenomenal in those. And so, you know, Subban's got no wins on the season. He's 0-3. Now maybe he threw out the Arizona game because he got hurt in the first period, but the last two games he's played, he's deserved wins. You know, Malcolm's deserved the W. And for whatever reason, they don't play a full 60 minutes. They go to sleep. They take their foot off the gas. And, you know, that's not a good... That is not the sign of a good team.
Not a good look at all.
So I have a question for both of you guys.
Go
real
ahead.
Quick, just talking about the fans. Because you even say you don't like to, you know, talk about people or say anything bad. You know a lot about hockey. Not everyone in Vegas knows as much hockey as you do. A lot of people are Golden Knights fans. What do you tell to the people that are panicking now?
Don't panic.
Right?
Oh, come on. Yeah, it's a long season. And the bottom line is, here's the thing with the NHL, and I say this all the time. What makes the NHL so much cooler than any of the other sports, and I'll take football first, and although I'm from Hockey Town, but what makes it cool is one player in the NHL, when it comes playoff time, can make a difference. We all know who that player is. It is the last line of defense, the goaltender. And when you have a goaltender that gets hot, and you want to use the cliches, seeing beach balls, you know, this, it can happen. And we saw, you know, one of the greatest greatest examples was a few years back with Jonathan Quick of the Los Angeles Kings.
Correct.
They went from the eighth seed, and this guy was impermeable through the entire playoffs. You know, won the Conn Smythe Trophy, deservedly so, and this dude
won them that cup without
question, yeah. and they all acknowledged it. But the point is, they were the eighth seed. They barely got in the playoffs. They got in like the second to last game of the season, and they win the cup. That's what a goaltender can do. No other sport can one man take over and take a team and lead them to the cup. Fleury almost did it for the Golden Knights 2 years ago. And as good as the Golden Knights played, Marc-Andre Fleury was unbelievable between the pipes throughout the playoffs, and he has been for the Golden Knights in the short history of this team. And I really think when it comes time to move on, yeah, Malcolm Subban looks serviceable, but we are talking about Marc-Andre Fleury, future Hall of Famer and a superstar. That is going to be one hell of a person to replace. Listen, let's get on to Blazing Max. Go ahead and hit it.
This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot. This is why I'm hot.
It is time for Blazing, brought to you by Buffalo Wild Wings, 215 in North Durango in the Montecito Crossing Plaza. They've got two happy hours every day. Every Monday night, we are there hosting the best Monday night football party in Las Vegas. Come on and join me tomorrow night. We'll be out there giving away free wings, wing parties, all kinds of awesome steins and beer and glassware. Come up and hit me up for some free wings. We'll be out there tomorrow night. I'm going to try to drag Jose Sudden Death Vellante out there. The kid, the Wiz, is out there with me every Monday night. So come on out tomorrow night and check that out. Buffalo Wild Wings, America's favorite place for wings, beer, and sports. And right now, we're going to quickly rip around Blazing. My Blazing's going to come up at the end. I got my Blazing in studio right now. Jose, what's Blazing, brother? We'll let you go first.
So this isn't a good Blazing. It's a funny Blazing, so I had to throw it out there. If you guys did not know, Heat guard Dion Waiters had a so-called, quote-unquote, panic attack.
Oh, he was Blazing, all right.
So he was definitely Blazing. It was very interesting to watch. If you guys did not look it up, look it up. That's my Blazing of the week.
That's a good Blazing.
I like it, yeah.
What do you got for me, Megs?
What the hell is Merrimack? You ever hear of Merrimack? You know what the hell Merrimack is?
I've heard of it. I don't know what it is.
I've
Merrimack
heard.
Is a team that's transitioning from D2 to D1 in college basketball.
Okay.
They earned their first victory in school history as a D1 team. They were blown out by Maine in their first game. But they won their first game as a D1 program last night. You know who they beat?
I'm listening.
Grand Canyon?
They beat a Big Ten team.
No way.
Wow.
They beat Northwestern 71-61 last night over the Wildcats of Northwestern. They trailed by 5 with 9.5 minutes to go, but they ended the game with a 17-4 run, and they end up winning their first ever game. They lost by 20 points to Maine in game one. They come back and they beat...
So that's two unknowns beating, because Nebraska lost to UC Riverside.
And then Nebraska lost yesterday to Southern Utah.
Yeah, that is...
Great job, Fred Hoiberg.
Yeah, maybe we're glad Fred Hoiberg didn't make it to Las Vegas. My God in heaven. They're like, Chris, that arena in Nebraska is as empty almost as the Thomas and Mack. Well, they are not showing up to watch this team play basketball.
How about the fact that their football team sucks, too?
Oh, my God, yeah. Seriously, man. It's bad. Nebraska sports, very rare that it's bad. Listen, I got two Blazings. One, I want to just throw it out again to that LSU-Alabama game, a game I have not watched in its entirety yet, but I do plan to do that by this evening. I recorded it. What an incredible game. What a cool win for LSU. And the hard part is, because Alabama's Alabama and Nick Saban's Nick Saban, they're going to still be in the Final Four teams this week, although we'll see as time goes on whether that changes or not. I think right now it's clear cut. The two best teams in the country to me are LSU and Ohio State, and that is a national championship game I would love to see. And I think we might get our wish with that one. But right now, you know, you're still looking at Clemson up there. You're still looking at Alabama. It brings Georgia back into the mix a little bit. But, you know, I think when it's all said and done this year, LSU proved that they really are, in my opinion, one of the top two teams in the country. I just got to see Ohio State play somebody that I really respect, because so far they haven't played anybody I respect yet in the Big Ten. I mean, Wisconsin, they look like garbage, and Illinois beat Wisconsin, although Illinois just beat Michigan State, too, in a horrible 27-point fourth quarter. Anyways, I'm done with Blazing. I'm going to go get to the other Blazing. Here in studio joining us right now, I have Daniel, is it Margasa?
Margasa.
It is Margasa. Yes. Okay, I want to make sure I get it right. A professional drummer and the owner of Six Guns Music, which is opening up, I believe, a week from Tuesday, right?
November 19th. Yep.
Right?
Yep.
So a week from Tuesday, you guys have your official grand opening, red carpet, the whole nine yards.
Wedding. Yeah, exactly.
So
the whole nine
yards. Now, it says the Las Vegas location. First one?
This is the first one. Yeah, we've been on the East Coast for about 15 years now, and this is going to be our big debut here in Las Vegas. Exciting.
I just caught that East Coast accent. Did you hear it?
A little bit.
You
got
to listen if you pay attention.
What are you talking about?
Yeah, I definitely heard the East Coast. I got a Midwest one. I get mistaken for East Coast every now and again. Real cool. Where's the guy? Now, professional drummer, is this something you dreamed about, having your own music store?
Yeah, absolutely. Being a drummer, how I even got started is guys are breaking their guitars all the time. Here I am, a guitar player slash drummer, but I'm a drummer first. And guys would break their guitar on the road, and sure enough, they'd be like, hey, Daniel, can you fix this? So I ended up getting it back together.
You became a guitar and drummer mechanic.
Well, exactly, yeah. I mean, really, you know, my forte is drummer. I'm still drumming. Sure. I just performed in the Rock Gods Hall of Fame Music Awards in L.A.
Nice.
Cool. Got to play Buster Akery from Steely Dan, Tony Franklin from The Firm and Whitesnake. And, you know, so, you know, every year they'll call me to do various performances. I still tour, but when I'm not playing drums, I am building, fixing, repairing, and doing some really extreme custom guitars for both superstars and the regular guys alike, you know?
Talk about the grand opening.
November 19th, 4 to 5 p.m. down at 1631 East Sunset. We are going to be doing a red carpet event from 4 to 5. Press is going to be there. We're having a big ribbon cutting, nice little ceremony, and you can even win free stuff, including instruments. We've got, this is Las Vegas, so of course we have our wagon wheel of fortune, and if you spend $100, you actually can spin that wheel, and believe it or not, you can win everything from an instrument to a gold bar. Yes, I'll say it again, gold. So it's a very interesting night. We've got a lot of people, and some superstars are coming out of the woodwork for me, so we're happy to be here.
Daniel, is it true that you played with Meat Loaf?
Yeah, I did at the presidential inaugural for President Clinton. I was the music director.
Really? Interesting.
Yeah.
Nice.
So Meatloaf, Fuel, Sublime, Deep Purple, Jay Giles. You played with a few people, man.
Yeah, I played with a few people.
Seriously,
being a studio drummer and a session guy, a lot of times it's last minute. Like, can you come in and just get up on stage? In 2017, it was...
Yeah, Deep Purple gives you a call. Nah, I don't want to commit to that. I'm going to sleep in for a couple hours, man. The hell with that, you know?
Yeah. So it does happen quite a bit, but it's
let me know when Mick Jagger calls. Maybe I'll show up then. You know,
can't do it, Mick.
I mean, seriously, pretty cool. And so give me the whole skinny, the lowdown. You guys are officially going to be opened after the 19th.
That's it. You can come in. Of course, Black Friday.
Give the location.
Again, it's 1631 East Sunset, and we're right in between Las Vegas Boulevard and Eastern. So smack dab. I mean, we're looking at the strip from our location, you know. We're about a mile away, and Suite C114 is our suite. Can't miss our big sign out there on the building.
Way cool.
Yeah.
And tell me this much. Well, I got to get this one in. What is the coolest thing? When I walk into your store, what's the coolest thing I'm going to see?
We actually brought it with us, and you're going to have to take a look at it.
Oh, wow. Check that out.
We can build pretty much anything mild to wild. And normal custom guitar shops, meaning they're hot-rodding your guitar.
Sure.
That's not what we do. We can hot-rod your guitar just fine. But if you come in and you say...
Pimp your guitar.
We can really pimp it out. But, you know, we can pretty much... You draw it out, we'll build it. You want a Sunflower, sure. You want a... Someone's already asking, can we do a Golden Knights guitar? Absolutely.
Nice. We got to go out there and see it, because right now the coolest thing in studio is Magnum's old Expo hat. So I'm hoping this thing is a little cooler than that when we get out there. He's worn that thing so many times, it stands in the corner by itself right now.
Yeah.
You got to put it in the dishwasher, brother. Give it a little bath. Hey, listen up. And Alicia, your wife, is here as well.
Yeah, I'm going to have her bring in a couple of the guitars so you guys can take a look.
Very, very cool. Definitely bring those in. Check out Facebook Live if you're not on my page, Spencer's page, Jose's page, Chris's page. Caleb will probably stream it also, and we'll be on the Out of Line page. So if you want to see the guitar, you'll be able to see it there. Really, really cool. Again, the grand opening is coming up. It is a week from Tuesday, the 19th. They've got the red carpet event. And then starting on Wednesday, man, you guys are open for business.
That's it.
Rocking and rolling.
We're in the back building custom guitars. We've got a showroom with 100-plus guitars in it, many, many customs.
Wow,
and
cool is that?
It's just a real great vibe. We kind of describe the shop as, Jimi Hendrix's living room. You know, there's couches and carpets everywhere. You know, bring your coffee. We'll serve you coffee. Bring your dog. Bring your baby.
Jimi Hendrix. How cool is that? Maybe I'll sit on the couch and have a shot of Jack with Janis Joplin.
Yeah, there you go.
Is Janis Joplin there? I mean,
perfect.
That is awesome. Well, listen, again, in studio with us today, Daniel and Alicia Margasa. We really appreciate you guys coming in.
Sure, thanks for
having us. Again, it is Six Guns Music. It's grand opening next week. Definitely check it out. We'll talk more about that on the show as well. Keep an eye out for those guys. We're coming down. I want a tour, man. I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely.
I'm bringing my friend Carlota from 92.3 across the hall with me, and we're going to come down and check the place out.
Thumbs up.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Listen, you are listening to Out of Line. I'm Brian Feldman. Jose Vellante, Chris Magnum Chapman. We've got Spence the Wiz, Caleb Herring on break. This is Fox Sports Radio, and we will be right back. All right, Out of Line, Fox Sports Radio, 98.9 FM, 1340 AM, flagship of the Vegas Golden Knights. And we're going to do some S and B with B, filling in for C, since Caleb's not here, a little bit of the silver and black. And how about the Raiders? Last week, we're sitting here, and the Raiders are 3-4. And 1 week later, it almost sounds unbelievable, but they're 5-4. They've won two games since last Sunday's show. Of course, they won last Sunday against the Detroit Lions, and then they beat the the Los Angeles Chargers on Thursday night. Both games they could have lost, but they didn't. They won both. And based on what the AFC looks like right now, they are in the thick of the playoff race at 5-4. How good are the Oakland Raiders? That is a question that I'll be scratching my head for a while. Hey, after nine games, they're 5-4. That's nothing to sneeze at. It's better than I thought they would be. I think we may see the Raiders in the playoffs this year. I don't know how much noise they'll make in the playoffs, but I'm telling you what, not too much is going to surprise me. I look for the cream to rise to the top, and right now in the AFC, it's always going to be the Patriots, no matter what happens. They fell off to, you know, Lamar Jackson and the Baltimore Ravens, who have a really good team, and this guy is a freak.
And the Ravens
are another team that I think could make some noise on that side of on that side of the NFL and the AFC. So we'll see what happens. But big win for the Raiders. They don't play today because they played two games last week inside of a week and won them both, and that's pretty impressive. So SB and C will be with Caleb Herring back doing that next week. And talking about this week coming up, guys. A big week in football for a lot of teams that are making moves, and the NFC definitely looks like the premier conference, but you've got things changing. One of the big things changing this week, and let's talk about the AFC again, is another one of those teams that at the beginning of the season, for the first several weeks, really thought this year would be over the hump and beat the Patriots. And that's the Kansas City Chiefs. Patrick Mahomes comes back today. A dislocated kneecap. Jose, what do you think about a dislocated kneecap and a little over three weeks off and you're back playing in the NFL again? If I remember, a guy named Robert Griffin III did something like that with a bad knee injury. He didn't take any time off, and it pretty much ended his career. Now, that was not nearly... This injury is not nearly as bad as that one was. I mean, his leg whipped, but still, it is a dislocated kneecap. Safe to play this kid right now, or would you sit him another week, man?
I would have sat him another week because, you know, no matter what, it's going to be in the back of his mind. Do I run? Do I stay in the pocket? Am I going to get hit? Do I protect that knee? You said it with Robert Griffin. The difference was Robert Griffin was a running freak. He ran all over the place. Mahomes run when he needs to. He doesn't just run to run. He's a pass-first guy. But I would sit him one more week. You're 6-3. It's not like you're out of the playoff hunt. It's not like your season is over. Matt Moore has done a decent job with that team.
You're going up against the Titans and Ryan Tannehill.
Exactly. You're going against Ryan Tannehill and the Titans, which had a little spurt there, and they won two games, but then they dipped out last week. I say you sit him.
That should be Ryan Tannehill's nickname, Spurt.
Spurt, that's all he is. But I say sit him. I think it's a bad decision to start him. It's not the end of the world. The season's not over. I would have given him one more week to let that knee heal.
And what about another change going on? The Detroit Lions, have you guys heard? Matthew Stafford, Mr. Durable, is going to be missing a game.
They're still playing?
Yeah, I know, right? But Matthew Stafford, the longest standing, I think he had one of the longest standing or the longest standing consecutive game streak. He's right there with
Philip Rivers has the second longest. I don't know who had the first.
Stafford, I'm almost positive, him, but it's ending today. He has two, I believe, cracked vertebrae in his back.
Ouch.
And he is going to be out. And the Detroit Lions, it is going to be an interesting game today with the Detroit Lions and what happens with this team. I don't know. They're in Chicago.
But they got Mitchell Trubisky.
That's what I was going to say. But I'll tell you what, with Stafford out, I got to believe that line minus three jumps.
It's
to
six
about,
and a half, no?
Yeah, I was going to say it's got to be at least seven in Chicago. And it should be more. If Mitchell Trubisky was anything other than garbage, the line would be more.
He's a dumpster fire.
Yeah, he is not a good quarterback. But, you know, it's a change. And, you know, the other big topic of conversation is, to me, the best game of the week. Come on out tomorrow night, the Buffalo Wild Wings. You've got the Monday night game, Seattle playing San Francisco.
The Niners finally play a real team.
They do, and, you know, Russell Wilson this year, to say that he's not the front runner for the MVP would be probably a mistake. I think he is, and playing his best football right now. This kid is on his way, working his way into the Hall of Fame, which is crazy when you looked at Russell Wilson coming out of Wisconsin, transferred from North Carolina State to Wisconsin, and then plays one year there, wins the job, and look what he's done in the NFL. He comes to the Seahawks, and they've got Matt Flynn, who they just paid $10 million to because he had two good games against the Lions. And then he never even plays a game for Seattle. By opening camp, it was Russell Wilson, and here we are, two Super Bowls later, one win, one lost. They should have won both, but
well played by him. Though.
But both well played, other than one lousy play and a lousy play call. But the whole thing is the Niners are getting a challenge. It is at home, up in the Bay. But the question is Seattle good enough to beat the Niners, number one? And number two, are the Niners for real, man? Is this team for real? Is is Jimmy Garoppolo the real deal? Now, what I say when people talk about Garoppolo, I say the jury's still out, although he's playing well. It's the defense. That 49ers defense might be one of the most under-talked about, underrated things. You see them undefeated, you keep thinking it's Jimmy Garoppolo in the offense. Now, let me tell you, they have a hell of a running game.
Correct.
But it is that defense why that team is undefeated going into today. That's what I think.
I agree with you 100%. We're seeing a defense that we haven't seen from San Francisco in a while. Not only that, the team they beat, the Bucks, the Bengals, the Steelers, I get it, the Browns, trash. Rams, not the team they were last year. Redskins, trash. Panthers had a good run. They're not that great. And you beat the Cardinals. You haven't really beat anybody. And not only that, you're playing a team in Seattle that's undefeated on the road this year. They haven't lost the game on the road this year. So you have to give Seattle some type of credit with what they're doing and what they've done. Not only that, if I'm not mistaken, I think Josh Gordon is playing his first game today with Seattle. So now you're telling me you're going to have Josh Gordon and DK Metcalf on your corners? That's going to be an interesting game to watch for sure. And I agree with you. I think that's the game of the week overall.
San Francisco giving up only 241 yards of total offense, the best in the National Football League. This will definitely be a test. Russell Wilson, there is probably no better reader of schemes, defensive schemes, than Russell Wilson in the National Football League.
He'll tear
that
your
man,
defense apart.
That man absolutely can pick out a defense and pick out coverages and make adjustments as well as anybody in the last 10 years in the NFL.
But what about Seattle's defense? Are they going to show up?
Seattle's defense is a problem. They're not good.
And look how much points they give up to Jameis Winston.
No, that's what I'm saying. They're not good. They should have lost that game.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
I mean, I'm real happy because that game gave me a win.
I had a 14 parlay and I needed them.
Seriously. But anyways, it's going to be interesting. And I would definitely try to get down to Buffalo Wild Wings, check out another game that people are interested in. The Cowboys are hosting the Vikings. Caleb Herring, by the way, I'll give his pick of the week. He took the Vikings and took the 3 points at Dallas. Ooh. An interesting game, and I'll say this because Dallas is kind of a Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde football team this year. You don't know which team is going to show up. Defensively, they've got some holes. And Ezekiel Elliott, yeah, he might be the best running back in the National Football League. People would argue Christian McCaffrey. They might even argue Saquon Barkley.
Yeah.
It would be hard not to take Ezekiel number one if everyone's healthy, but what I'm seeing Christian McCaffrey do in Carolina is nothing short of spectacular. This kid is a freak. I mean, he catches the ball out of the backfield, he runs. I have a feeling if you put Christian McCaffrey on defense at free safety or outside linebacker, he'd probably go both ways and kill it for you too. I mean, I'm joking, but this guy is one of the best all-around football players I have seen in a long, long time, and he is so much fun to watch.
Talk about a two-way talent. He's all the way around.
No question about it. But again, back to the Cowboys and the Vikings game, I just don't know which Cowboys team is going to show up. And again, I don't have a lot of faith. I don't care how well Kirk Cousins is playing. I don't have a lot of faith in him either. So, interesting game in Dallas. And, of course, that's the night game tonight. So, this week, the primetime game is pretty good. Minnesota at Dallas and Seattle at San Francisco. Well, guys, let's do the picks. I told you Caleb Herring is going to go with the – who do you say again? I forgot now.
Vikings.
The Vikings, that's right. He's going with the Vikings taking the 3 points from the Cowboys. I don't think that's a terrible pick. It's one you wouldn't look at and jump out at you.
Of course
not. I kind of like it a little bit. And since he hasn't spoken the entire show, we'll hear his voice right now. That's the Wiz. Let's get him in here. And he hasn't looked at the paper, but I know the Wiz is a betting man. So what I would do, Wiz, is I would give your worst pick of the week, and it'll probably win.
Yeah, I guess I will.
The way we're going in here, I would always go backwards on that. So
I will go in that direction. Okay. If I'm not mistaken, it's the Giants -3 over
I love people that
bet
bad
teams. That's a great pick. Always bet against
Sam Darnold is going to stay haunted this week. He will still see ghosts.
Always bet against the Jets. It's just betting on bad teams, but the Wiz is going to take the Giants. They are giving the Jets 3 points. I would say in New York, but it would be in New York either way. And that's going to be the Wiz. We'll see what he does there. Mags, what do you got, man?
If I turn my mic on.
There we go.
I'm going to go with the Saints laying the points at home. It's a lot of points, but, man, Atlanta sucks. Saints coming off the bye week. Drew Brees has had another week to get healthy.
14 points? 13 and a half, but yep. That's a lot. Magic.
I mean, I've watched Atlanta a lot, and they've been getting blown
out
in a lot of games.
It's a bad team. They're not a horrible team.
Michael Thomas,
team.
I think, will have a huge game. And Alvin Kamara, healthy, I think. So, I was tempted to go a different direction, but, yeah, I'm going to go with the Saints laying a lot of points.
All right. And Jose?
So, you know me. I like to go with money, who's betting on what. The sports books need this game more than any other game right now from what I'm looking at. I'm taking the Steelers against the Rams. Give me the points. I'm not sold on Todd Gurley this year. I'm not sold on the Rams in general. I can honestly see the Steelers winning this game outright, so give me the points.
Well, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to go with the unconventional wisdom. Patrick Mahomes is back in the lineup. Let me go with the good team, and I'll take the Chiefs, giving up 6 points in Tennessee. Ryan Tannehill will lay an egg, throw a bunch of interceptions, and Patrick Mahomes will compensate for the bad knee. Tariq Hill scores 2 touchdowns today. Travis Kelce gets one, and how about Patrick Mahomes, 1 on the ground? That's 4 touchdowns.
There we go.
This is Out of Line. I'm Brian Feldman. I want to thank Chris Badden and Chapman behind the big board, Spence, the Wiz, our intern Jose Vellante, Mark Anderson for joining the show, and of course Daniel and Alicia. Six Guns Music opens up next Tuesday. We'll talk about that next week as well. I'm Brian Feldman. We're out. Enjoy the week. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.